Well, I think this occasion reminds me of the situation of the young preacher who was fresh out of Bible college. He preached his first sermon the first Sunday at his first full-time work. And he was nervous, didn't know exactly what to say, and the time came to take the pulpit, and all of these thoughts were rushing through his mind. And so he tried to be real dramatic. And in his best possible preacher voice, he looked out over the audience and everybody's eyes, and he said, "Oh, where to begin? Where to begin?" And an older member shouted from the back of the building, "As close to the end as possible." Well, we don't have a clock on the wall, so I don't know if we have that problem here or not. I hope not. That's not my nature. But I know where I want to begin, and I'd like for you to take your Bibles out and turn to Romans, the first chapter, and in just a moment we're going to begin reading there, beginning in verse 13 as a basis for our study this morning. Romans chapter 1, if you take your Bibles, we're going to read that together in just a minute. I want to begin, though, by thanking you, each one of you, for your kindness. And there are so many ways that I could talk about that, and I could name a lot of names of people that have emailed, sent Facebook messages, have called me, people that have prayed, not only publicly, as a young man did a while ago, but others privately, of different ways in which people have volunteered, of people that have already come to our home and with some sweat labor have helped us in getting moved in, of people that have sent food so that we have things to eat. I mean, just all kinds of things to make Norma Jean and I feel at home. And we want you to know how much we appreciate it. And I tell you what, I said as we pulled up the other day, and I said, "Well, Norma Jean, we're home." And it just felt real good. It really did. And I feel right at home here. And you have just made us feel that way and already made us feel a part of the church family, and we thank you so very much, because, you know, there's a lot of transition. I was just thinking earlier, you know, not only do you move, but move to a locale that you never lived in before, and you start new work, and you have new people and new names to learn. By the way, you do understand that you've only got two names to learn, and I got 200. Okay, everybody's aware. Okay, good. So we're working at that, and we'll get that done here sooner or later. But just help us with that. And I, by the way, you won't embarrass me if I speak to you and you think he didn't remember my name. Just tell me. It's good. And it'll help me with that a little bit. And Norman Jean, I think, feels the same way. If you haven't met him, our son Kenny is with us. He's helped us get here and drove Norman Jean's car up here to Kansas City. And so we appreciate that. And he's been lifting boxes and running errands and doing all kinds of good things. He flies out tomorrow and will end up back in Dominica, where his wife's in medical school and is working and serving the Lord down there. And so we just appreciate that he's been able to come and to help us out, and that's been great. So thank you again for the invitation of the shepherds here to come and to be a part of this ministry. And I want to begin by really us thinking about where we're going with that. And I thought probably where to begin couldn't be a better text than Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, where Paul said, "Now I do not want to be you unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered till now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both the wise and unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by their faith." I want to talk to you this morning about my model for ministry. And my model for ministry, as we work together here in this church family, is a model that's found in this text. And it's based on the three I am statements that Paul makes here in Romans chapter 1. And I believe what is my model for ministry really ought to be the model that we embrace together if we're to accomplish the things that was prayed for just a little while ago. That we might grow, that we might reach out of this community, that we might become stronger, that we might reach the potential that God would have us to reach as His purposed, dedicated, elect people. So let's look at these three I am statements, and in these statements express my attitude toward the gospel. They define my approach to ministry, and they will share with you really my intention as I seek to build relationships here with all of you that are part of this church family. The first one, Paul says, I am a debtor. Paul's attitude expressed how keenly he felt about his responsibility. He rendered it as a debt, as something owed. He said, I'm indebted to all men. I'm indebted to Greeks and to barbarians, to rich and to poor and to Jews, to everybody. And his genuine concern was for all men everywhere because he felt enslaved to them. He felt indebted to them. He viewed them as auditors and his creditors who held notes against him. He said, I am a debtor. And I am too. I am a debtor to the gospel. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I know I am, because I'm just a sinner. I'm not perfect, and if you haven't discovered that already, you're going to be finding out. I make mistakes. And Norma Jean will say, I can't believe you said that. And I say, I can't either. That's got to be about the dumbest thing I've said. She'll say, no, you said something dumber than that. No. I mean, I make mistakes. I'm just like all of you. I'm a frail and feeble human being. And I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. Amen? Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His compassion. Thank God that Ken Welliver can be saved by His grace. But I realize this charge that I have as a preacher. Where Paul told the young evangelist Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove or convince, rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And so when I stand before you and I seek to reprove or convince and rebuke and exhort, I'm not speaking as though I've never done anything wrong or made a mistake. I'm simply trying to fulfill a charge that's been laid. I'm in debt to the gospel. And I am indebted to preach truth. I am indebted to fulfill this command that's laid on me in my ministry. And I will never speak anything to you because I think I'm better. Or I've never been there. I've never had that temptation. Or I've never experienced that problem. In fact, more than likely, I know all too well how feeble that I am and the mistakes that I have made. But I know this, I'm in debt to the gospel. And I owe it to the gospel of Christ to preach the word and to do what Paul told Timothy here. And so, yes, I am in debt, and I am in debt to the gospel. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You know what that means? That means when they want it and when they don't want it. And that's right. And I tell you, there are times I may preach things I'd just rather not preach. But I got to preach it in season and out of season. When it's convenient, when it's inconvenient. When it feels good and maybe not so good. That's the charge that's laid upon us. But none of that, I'm in debt to others that have gone before me. An occasion like this reminds me of those that have taught me, of those whose feet I have sat at and have learned. Some men, I'm sure, in fact, many, if not most, you may know. Men like Robert Jackson that began to influence me when I was just a teenager. Auden McKee that we spoke of earlier. I think some folks here, Brenda and her husband, know him. Auden was my mentor as a boy. He taught me. He baptized me. He equipped me. He encouraged me. I'm in debt to him. Men like James P. Miller, men like Bob Owen and Harry Pickup Jr. and John Clark and Dee Bowman, I'm in debt to those men who have gone before and have fought the good fight, who have kept the faith. And men that have been there to lift me up and encourage me. I'm in debt to men that have preceded me in this pulpit. By the way, the last service we attended in Tampa before we made our trek up here was over Valrico. And we saw Marty and Amy, and they send their love to you. Amy said it was the best 5 years of her life here in Kansas City. I told Marty she said that, and he went, well, okay. Well, sure, but he said, we love those folks there, and you give them our love. They preceded us. John Clark was one of my heroes, and I know he spent a lot of time as part of this church family. I remember the first meeting we ever worked together in, John came to preach, and I learned something about John that was really, after the meeting, we'd go home like preachers do, and he stayed with us, and we'd stay up to 3 in the morning talking. I know that's shocking, knowing John, right? But all in this 4 or 5 hours that we spent, I only had to ask about 3 questions. I said, John, what about this? He had an hour's dissertation on that. It was great. I literally, Bob, I sat there with a notepad as a young preacher and took notes on the things that John Clark shared with me. We would run around all day together before the service that night, and I'd talk to John. John, what do you think about this? And he'd tell me. Great man of God. I'm in debt to John Clark. It's because of men like him. And Roger Shouse, a good friend of mine. And I know I've left people out, but some that I've had an acquaintanceship with and a relationship with who have preceded me. And then I think of the shepherds here and their love for you and their work. And I look out and see Don and men that have shepherded and have set back when I worked and retired and the Harmons. And the list could go on. Of people that have labored and have worked and have sacrificed and have given to make this church what it is today and to give the young people that sit here a place to come in comfort, to worship, and to serve God. Young people, we're in debt to these older people that have preceded us. I'm a debtor. And I just want you to know that I'm a debt to my parents that taught me. That were faithful Christians. I'm in debt to my wife, Norma Jean, who has supported me. By the way, she's the best preacher's wife in the world, okay? Mark Roberts and I kind of kid about that a little bit, but she's the best in the world. And we're debtors to others that have provided for us these wonderful blessings in Christ. I am a debtor. But I am, as Paul, ready to preach the gospel. Paul was ready. Paul expressed an eagerness to get to the task assigned. And I tell you what, the gospel now needs men who are anxious and eager to preach it. It reminds me of the statement that Jeremiah made in the Old Testament. When Jeremiah was depressed and discouraged and people were beating up on Jeremiah and he got to the point that he didn't want to preach anymore. But in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he said, if I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, he said, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary from holding it in, and I cannot. That's what we need. We need folks that the word is burning in their bones, and they can't hold it in. Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. I am eager to preach the gospel. He said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15 that I will be very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. He was eager. He was ready to give of himself for these Christians. Well, I'm ready to preach the gospel to convert the lost. It is the power of God to salvation. And the prayer this morning is said about reaching out in the community. There is a community here that is lost. And I have been struck just by the short time we've been in Kansas City as we drove the other day to Overland Park and saw all that is over there, and we've driven around Raymore. We're living out in Lee's Summit. We went out to the downtown days last night. There were a lot of lost people there. I could tell. I could see what they were drinking. I could see what they were wearing. I heard some language here and there. There are lost people all around us, aren't there? Friends and neighbors and relatives and acquaintances that are lost and out of Christ. And we need to be eager to take the gospel to them, to preach the gospel, to convert the lost, because it's the power of God to salvation. I'm ready to preach the gospel to restore the erring. I'm keenly aware that there are those that have fallen away. And I dare say that there are those in the past several months or years that have been a part of the Hickman Mills family that are no longer here, that still live around here. I'd sure like to have a part in bringing them back. Let's work together on it. Let's see if we can restore the erring. Let's see if we can bring them back into the fold of safety. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25 that in humility, correct those who are in opposition. And so with humility and with meekness and the love of God in our heart, I'm ready to restore the erring. And I'm ready to edify the saints, to build up. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, Paul said that he, that's Christ, he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. The first sermon I preached from this pulpit back in February was on edification. Edification is so important. To build up. To build on a good foundation. We need edification in the local church. And the gospel, preaching the gospel, is building up. It's not just condemning stuff and finding fault and tearing down. Oh, there's times when we need to condemn and rebuke. But the gospel's building up, edifying. And I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to preach the gospel here in Kansas City and here in Hickman Mills. But I'm ready to equip the saints for ministry. The verse we just read talks about equipping. And that verse says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers all have the work of equipping. Now, we don't have any more apostles now, do we, Clinton? Apostles all dead. No apostles. How about prophets? No prophets. They're gone, right? But we have evangelists, and we have pastors, shepherds here, elders, and teachers. You know, my work is not to do all the work. I think you all know that. I haven't been hired to do your work. I've got to work. And part of my work is to help you work. It's to equip. And so I join with these shepherds and the other teachers that are part of this church family in equipping people and to equip the saints for ministry. And so if you've got a question and I can help, call me. If there's something that I can help equip you on in teaching a class, or evangelizing, or going to see someone that you're not sure quite what to say or how to approach it. Don't feel like, I've had people say, well, Brother Ken, I hate to bother you. Hate to bother me? Well, it's my work. You're not bothering me. Call me. I'm here for you. And if I can help equip you and help you in something, that's what I want to do. That's our work. 24/7. Say, now you don't mean that. You know what I really love to get is a call at 3 in the morning? I'm serious. When you say, I've been studying with someone and want to be baptized. Now don't call me at 3 in the morning for directions to Waffle House, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. But man, call me at 3 in the morning and say, and you know, young people, I noticed when I lived in Tampa, the young people don't start studying about midnight. I tend to try to get to bed before midnight if I can. But I really, the young people, they'll be studying. I had a guy call me at 3 in the morning. He'd been studying with his girlfriend. Said, Lynn's ready to be baptized. Lynn said, no, don't call him. It's 3 in the morning. Clayton said, he'll be glad. She said, he will? And I was, and we did. And she was baptized, and then we went to Waffle House and celebrated with breakfast. I'd love to do that. about once a week. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. I'm serious about that. My job is to equip. And my job is to study and learn. Paul told Timothy, study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling right the word of truth. I'm still a student. You know, one of the things I was impressed with when I was a young man at Florida College, Homer Haley, I thought was a really old man then. He was like 60-something. I've learned he was just getting started in life. What, he lived to be, what, 97 or 8 before he died? Did a lot of great work after his 60s. But anyway, he said, boys, he said, I'm still a student. I'm still learning. You know I am too. And you may call me with some hard question, and I say, ooh, I'm going to have to study on that a little bit. Because I don't know all the answers. But my job is to study, and it's to learn, and it's to apply myself to the Word. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to study and to learn. And I'm ready to be flexible where allowable and unbending where not. Now, the text that I had Ryan read this morning, and I won't have to read it all because he's read it, but in this text, Paul said, I'm all things to all men. To the Jews, I'll be a Jew, and to the Gentiles, I'll be a Gentile. To the slave, I'll be a slave, and to the free, I'll be a free man. And those that are with law, I'll be with law. And those without law, I'll be without law. And why was all that? He said, I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And why do you do it, Paul? He said, I do it for the gospel's sake. And so, George, we become all things to all men. That's what I want to be. All things to all men. Why? For the gospel's sake. I want to be flexible. You know what I've learned in my years of preaching? There are a lot of opinions folks have. Now, I don't have any opinions because I know what's right about everything, see? Now, I got opinions. We all, someone said, that opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. And we do. But you know what I learned about opinions? They're just opinions. I don't get too uptight about opinions. I'm flexible. And I'll tell you something else. Just made me think of this. I moved to a place one time, and I did something. I mean, there's what it was. You'd think it was silly probably, but I did something. And a guy came over to my office. We didn't have elders, and he came over. And I tell you, he's a little bit bothered. And he started in on me what I did. And I said, well, I'm really sorry. He said, well, we don't do that here. I'd just been here a month or so. And I said, well, I didn't know that that was against the tradition of the way we do things. And I said, but you know why I did that? And he said, why? Because where I moved from, that's the way we did it. He said, you did? That's the way you did it there? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, okay. He said, well, I understand why you did it. Just don't do it again. It wasn't gospel, it wasn't doctrine, just an opinion. And I know that there are ways at Hickman Mills, traditions. Every church has its culture. And I've come from one place where things are done a certain way, and I've preached in different places, in different states, different parts of the country. And there's different ways of doing things. So if I offend somebody by something that, hey, we don't do that here, just understand, probably I came from a place where they did it that way. And I'm happy to be flexible, okay? Paul said, I'm all thanks to all men. But here's the other side of that. I want to be unbending where you can't be unbending. Truth, gospel, doctrine. There are some things right and wrong, amen? They're not up for opinion. Church Christ didn't make them up. Ken Welliver didn't make them up. Florida College didn't make them up. Bob Harmon didn't make them up. Steve Jimison didn't make them up. Jesus Christ revealed them to the apostles. And there are places where I'm going to be unbending and teaching the truth. And that might be on the home or on marriage or on what to do to be saved or on the work of the church or worship. That the Bible just tells us certain things. And I can't be flexible. I don't have the right to be flexible on those things. You're with me on that, aren't you? All right, that's where I'm coming from. I'm ready to teach publicly and privately. I'm going to make you a promise. I'll never get into this pulpit unprepared. You won't find me getting up on Sunday morning throwing a sermon together. Okay? Or Saturday night. I'm going to be prepared when I come to this pulpit. And I'm ready to teach a class or preach a sermon. I'm ready to do that. But I tell you what else, I'm ready to teach privately. I'm ready if you call me and say, I got a friend we need to study with. I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready to help you. You just call me and say, well, Brother Ken, I hate to bother you. I know you're busy. This is my work. It's not just preaching here, teaching a class. Paul taught publicly, it says in Acts 28, and from house to house. That's what I want to do. I'm ready to do that. Just call him and we'll do that. I'm ready to do the work of an evangelist. Paul told Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I'm an evangelist. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to preach the gospel and to fulfill my ministry. The shepherds here have a ministry. The deacons here have a ministry. There are teachers here that have a ministry. We all have a certain ministry that we have a giftedness to do. There are some things I can't do. You're going to learn what those are as we go along. I'm not telling you yet. There's some things I'm not real good at. And you'll come to me and I say, well, no, don't put me down for that. But I'm ready to do what I can do, and that's my ministry. And I'm ready to fulfill it and fulfill his purpose. Well, there's just one more I am. I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's God's power to save. Young people, let me tell you something. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed to be a Christian. Never be ashamed to stand up for Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed. Because it's God's power to save. I'm not ashamed because it will cleanse you from sin. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, of those that were ever kind of immoral, ungodly kind of person you could think of, adulterers and fornicators and liars and thieves and effeminate and homosexual, but he said you were washed, you were sanctified, you were cleansed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of our God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it will cleanse you from sin. And it provides a purpose in life. Paul came down to the end of his life. And in Philippians chapter 3, he talked about that. And he said, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are you doing, Paul? Pressing on. Pressing on toward the goal. I've got direction. I got aim. I got focus. I got purpose. Why? Because of the gospel. The gospel will give you that. And I'm not ashamed of that. Now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it offers hope. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, Paul said, if we have hope only in this life, we're of all men most miserable. Oh, I believe the gospel will make you a better husband, better wife, better father, better mother, better son or daughter. It'll make you a better citizen. You know, the gospel will help you make money in business if you follow the business principles. I mean, there's just a lot in the gospel that makes this world better. But you know what? The hope of the gospel is not in those things. The hope of the gospel transcends this life. And the hope of the gospel is that one day when we die, and we all will, we can go to heaven. We used to have a brother in Tampa, and he would pray as he ended his prayer, Lord, may we be saved without the loss of one. I like that. Wouldn't that be a great prayer to be able to pray here in this assembly? That one day we can all be saved in heaven without the loss of one? Everybody's going to heaven that's in this room. And yet it may be deep down in your heart of hearts, you got a little doubt. Maybe you haven't been living right. Maybe you haven't been serving the Lord. Maybe you've been derelict in your duty. I don't know. Maybe you're not even a Christian. And you know you need to be. And you think, you know, if I died today, I wouldn't have that hope. We hope, as Ben leads us in just a moment in this invitation song, that you will avail yourself of the hope of the gospel and make your life right with God. Well, there it is. That's my model for ministry. I think it's a good one, don't you? Because it's biblical. I didn't get it out of some book that I read. I didn't get it out of some college I went to. Didn't even get it from John Clark. Got it from the Apostle Paul right out of God's book. It'll work. If we'll work it. That's my pledge to you. And I hope you to me. Would you pray with me together, please? Our dear Father, we are so thankful for this Lord's Day, for its blessings, for its opportunities, for its privileges. We're grateful for this church family and that Norma Jean and I can be a part of it. And that we can work together with these shepherds and these servants and these teachers and each person, young and old, for the gospel's sake. Father, help us to realize the debt that we have to others that have gone before and the work and the labor in which they've engaged to make a work here possible. Let us, Father, preach and teach your word to the best of our ability. And Father, may we not be ashamed of you, your Son, or your gospel. And may you grant us all of your favors and blessings on the Hickman Mills family. As we begin today to join hands and hearts and lead us to more fruitful fields and greener pastures and to all that you have in store for us, we plead in the name of Jesus the Christ. And together the congregation said, Amen. May God bless us. Well, Ben, come on up and let's sing the song. If we can help you and you owe a duty to God, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.